Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gilio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. It is officially October 1st, which means Red October is here. Hugh, you know what that means. Friday. You know where we're going to be, right?
At Stateside.
Yes. It is our Red October rally starting on 10 a.m. on Friday, as we're going to be at Stateside Live, our second annual Red October Rally. That, of course, is the new name of Xfinity Live, South Philly Sports Complex. Special Phillies guests, and I mean big-time guests. I am hearing some rumors. John Middleton slated to be on the afternoon show 3 p.m. on Friday. So 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. We'll be live at Stateside. Come on by. We'll have some big guests on our show as we get set for the Phillies and I believe the Dodgers. I think it's a nice, cute story. The Reds are having to get into the playoffs.
That's cute.
It's cute. But last night, I think we saw what was going on there. So Dodgers and Phillies likely Saturday. We'll find out what time. All right, we'll get to that. Red October. By the way, sold out tonight, Citizens Bank Park.
That's pretty cool.
It's amazing for the inter-squad game.
That is pretty cool. Yep. Yeah, man. That people are that excited about Red October starting. Our fields are in, and they want to see what they're doing.
Yes.
Intra-squad scrimmage.
Yes, we will let you know what Topper had to say about the roster decisions and how the lineup and rotation could look starting Saturday coming up in a little bit. Right now, though, we go out to the guest line. Elliott Shore Park, sponsored by Cozy Jewelers. Step
ESP.
Up to the fifth C. That's color, cut, clarity, carrot, and cozy. Elliott, are you ready for Red October?
I mean, it's pumpkin spice season, it's football season, it's playoff season. It's just, you know, it's a good time right now
pumpkin
to be in Philadelphia.
Spice.
It's the best time of the year. I mean, the weather and the sports, it is a great time. We got a lot going on.
Other
here.
Than Christmas, but yeah.
Yeah, well, Christmas is wonderful. But
I
know, well, you're a Grinch. I mean, we've established that. How do you not like Christmas?
Money grab.
You just don't want to spend money.
That's money, right?
Yeah, well, all right. So most of us like it, but I get it. All right, Elliott, before we get to all the in stuff going on here with the Phils, let's get to a lot of Eagles with you here. Quite a week, Elliott. They win again, and everyone is frustrated because the receiver had a big tweet after the game and then didn't talk. Elliott, when you watch the game, and you always do your rewatch, what did you notice this week in the past game? Because it was so good in the first half, second half, zero completions, and obviously AJ not thrilled when it's all said and done.
Yeah, I thought the first half was some of the best football I've ever seen Jalen Hurts play. I thought just from the minute that game started, rewatching it, like he was locked in at a level I don't think we've seen since the Super Bowl. Like he was elite versus the blitz. His accuracy was amazing. His decision making was great. And I think he's almost become underrated as a runner. Like we talk so much about the passing game. I think what he does with his legs kind of gets undersold. But then the second half, he was awful. Like, I thought his accuracy was really bad. Now, just like in the first half, it's not all him. In the second half, it wasn't all him either. I thought the protection wasn't great. I think their running backs have really struggled in pass protection this year. But his accuracy wasn't good. I mean, you know, we're going to talk about the AJ thing, but if he throws accurate passes to AJ down the sideline, we're not talking about an AJ thing because AJ probably has 80 yards and, you know, maybe he feels differently. So I thought, surprisingly, Jalen's accuracy wasn't good in the second half, and I say surprisingly because he's generally, and almost always, I should say, a very accurate quarterback.
Yeah, I agree with you on his running, by the way. By the end of the season, he's probably going to move to top 8 or so all-time in rushing yards by a quarterback. We know the tush push and the touchdowns, but he's an impactful runner, and it was a big part. So I agree with you. I thought he played great in the first half. Second half, not so great. Elliot, your thoughts on the AJ situation as it is, because it feels like we do this every few weeks, and then it calms down, and then it comes back. Where do you think we're at right now with the A.J. Brown situation, short and long term?
Yeah, so I think what's so surprising and different about this one is it's self-inflicted. Like, I think in the past when we've had A.J. Brown stories, the team and A.J. could realistically say to themselves, well, this is just the media blowing it out of proportion, whether it's a quote he had that maybe, you know, they feel the media didn't take well, or when he was reading the book on the sideline, like things like that. I think internally they can look at and go, all right, well, this is not AJ. I think this time it is very clearly a self-inflicted wound, right? Like the call is coming from inside the house. Like AJ did this on his own. So I think AJ obviously is frustrated. I understand why he is frustrated. I don't think AJ worked out all offseason and talked about wanting to be the best receiver in the NFL so that he could get 7 yards in a game and like have one of the worst starts to his career. So I understand his frustration, but the fact that it was kind of him creating it this time, I think adds a different level to the drama.
Elliot, story this morning, Dan Graziano and Jeremy Fowler at ESPN about people in the league speculating on what the future here could be with the Eagles and A.J. Brown. And they talk about the potential for a trade in the offseason, but also the reality of one that if the Eagles designated him as a June 1st trade, they could trade him within the season. Elliot, what's your thought on how this thing moves forward? Do you think he's on the team next year? And do you think there is any chance that he's traded in the season?
So I can't say there's no chance he's traded in the season, because when I walked down to the Tampa Bay locker room or the Eagles locker room in Tampa Bay this past week, like I didn't see this coming, right? So this could take different twists and turns over the next few weeks that does lead to a situation that is maybe so ugly that they move on from him. Now, do I think it'll happen? Of course not. Like I would put the chances that AJ Brown is on the Eagles past the trade deadline at 95%, right? Like I think like there is a very, very, very small chance that he's traded. Now for next season, that's a more complicated question, because the first question is, does AJ want to be here? You know, and I'm sure he'll get asked that later today when he talks, and depending how the rest of the season goes, he'll probably get asked that a few more times as the season's gone on. So that's the first question. But I think the other part of this truly is like, what do the Eagles think of AJ physically at this point? There's been a lot of talk about, you know, is he the same guy physically? Is he not? And like, we can all guess and speculate and watch and like, just kind of say what we say. They'll have the best read on it of anybody. So if at the end of the season, or frankly, even in the next few weeks, if they feel AJ is maybe diminishing physically, and that would be their thing, I don't know if he is or not, then you wonder if they're better off, if they would decide they're better off selling high than they are waiting until it's maybe more apparent.
I'm kind of curious, Elliot. Do you think that AJ today should say something to the media? And if he does, what do you think that should be along the lines of?
So it's a tough one. Like, obviously, as a media member, I hope he talks today. As somebody that follows the team and just wants to know what he thinks, I really hope he talks today. If I'm AJ, like, that idea of talking after the Denver game sounds pretty tempting. Like, he has to talk during the week, but, you know, a lot of times players don't. If he cannot talk until after Denver and he has a good game, the line of questioning is just so different, right? It's one or two questions about this, and then it's, but hey, you had a good game today, right? Like, he can probably even laugh it off. Like, there's probably no laughing it off today. So in the past where there's been these type of incidents or drama, he has talked. He's talked, like, right away. Like, I remember after the whole BG thing, I'm pretty sure AJ was at his locker when the locker room opened. So like, he's talked in the past, and I would guess he probably would, but man, like if I was AJ, that post Denver press conference probably is a lot nicer than what it's going to be today.
Elliot Shore Parks with us here. Elliot, watching the first four games, how would you, if there's like a pie chart here, like how would you divvy up the reason why AJ has not gotten going outside of one half against the Rams? I mean, I guess there's probably three or so potential options. Number one would be Kevin Petullo and the passing game and just the way it is designed, they're not getting him open enough. Two would be maybe AJ's a little bit diminished or still banged up from the summer, and he's just not physically as good as he's normally. And the third one would be Jalen, that he's just not letting it rip and throwing it and getting him the ball at the time he needs to. If you had to kind of assess those three options, what would you say, how would you divvy it up based on why he's not performing like normal?
So if I had to only pick from those three, like I would add a fourth in there of the offensive line.
Okay.
And I actually have a question for you in a minute. But for the first three, like of a pie chart, I would go maybe 10% coaching, 10% AJ, and then 80% Jalen. Like it's just so simple. And I know that, you know, sometimes it sounds like I'm oversimplifying it, but I'm really not. Like Jalen decides where the ball goes. Jalen decides pre-snap what play is run. And Jalen decides if he wants to throw the ball to AJ. And I'm not saying he should force it into him. Like maybe AJ's not open, right? But I just think, in my opinion, when I watch the game, there are chances for AJ to be throwing the ball where he is not, right? Like when now, could it be a slightly risky throw? Like maybe. But if you have AJ down the sideline, like, you got to throw it to him. And on Sunday, Jalen did throw it to him. The passes just weren't accurate. So much like when last year they won the Super Bowl, and I said on this station all offseason that Jalen was the reason why and he was the most important reason, like it's only right then when the offense is struggling and the number one player is not getting the ball that Jalen holds that criticism too.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I think if you want to throw the offensive line in, maybe we split Jalen on the offensive line, so that's like 40-40. And I think that's probably a fair way to do it. What did you want to ask us?
So I was thinking about this morning, right? Why is it that when the skill players struggle, whether it's Jalen, the running back, the wide receivers, we all always go right to Kevin Petullo. But when the offensive line struggles, we never talk about Jeff Stoutland. And I'm not blaming Jeff Stoutland. He's a Hall of Fame coach. But the point I'm making is, why? Like, it's the players. It is the players. So I'm curious why you think Petullo and Nick Sirianni, I'll throw him in there, get questioned when the players on the offense don't perform well. But when the offensive line doesn't perform well, we just never bring up Stoutland.
Because it's the offensive coordinator is the guy that you is supposed to be like the evil genius. And the offensive players, the offensive linemen are kind of like the cogs in the wheel.
But did we think Kellen Moore was a genius? Or did Jalen play better?
Well,
and Saquon and the offensive line.
No, I'm answering the question asking. But do we think? I didn't think he was a genius. I thought it was the schematically. I thought everything that was happening with the offense last year
was the players
was schematically.
So you
like
did think, yeah. So that's more though. That's Kellen Moore.
No, that's what I'm saying. As a fan, that's more on him because he's the more of the person that's out in the forefront.
Right.
You know, Stoutland gets love because of, you know, his work with Jason Kelce, not just him, but the whole offensive line and what he's been able to do. Like, he gets the credit for putting players in position to be prepared.
Mm.
Now, the offensive coordinator, in my guesstimation, is the guy that actually cooks the meal and orchestrates how it's put together. You see what I'm
right.
saying? So, yeah, that's what it is.
I would just say, like, Jeff Stoutland's the run game coordinator, right?
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Stoutland, and I'm not even, again, not trying to rip Jeff Stoutland. I'm more just pointing out, like, we can't pick and choose when it's the coaching and when it's not. Like,
oh,
the
yeah,
offensive,
we
well, yeah, good point.
Yeah,
can,
I mean, yeah, we
sure.
can. We do that
yeah,
every day.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. But I just think, like, the players on the field aren't performing well. They continually are telling us that. Every time any player talks, they tell us it's execution. But, like, I never hear anyone question other position coaches. And then, like, Jeff Stoutland, Kevin Petullo gets ripped. It just, I don't know. Like, it's the players, full stop.
Elliot, I agree. I also think there's a protection here of Jalen Hurts. I mean, I think there's a lot of people out there who spend all offseason. I'm not talking about you, because I think you just react week to week with all of us. But I think there's a lot of people in the fan base that just decided this offseason he is now an elite top five quarterback. And when he doesn't perform like one, someone else has to be to blame. It can't be maybe that wasn't true, and we went too far with that, so we got to blame the new guy. That's Petullo.
And I agree. I also, though, like, just to be honest, do understand it from the fans' perspective a little bit. Like, this guy won a Super Bowl for the fan base. He has been an awesome quarterback. They win all the time. And I think, like, naturally, fans decide to protect their own because – nationally, he's been under, like, we can, you know, not to do the debate we did all offseason, but the perception is he has been not given the credit nationally that he should. So I think that because of that, when Jalen criticism comes up, fans jump more to be protective of him because, again, it's like protecting one of their own.
Yeah, exactly that. It's definitely that.
It's a lot of that. Elliot, quickly before we say goodbye, and we'll talk to you on Sunday for the pregame show, your thoughts on the Phillies as they enter Red October, expectations, and I think we're expecting the Dodgers here on Saturday. You're feeling on a potential Phillies-Dodgers series.
You know, it's funny. The opinions I have about the Phillies are about two different teams. So the first one I have is I can't help but view them as the Sixers right now. Like, I hope they have a deep run. I love Red October, and maybe they will. But, like, they have just come up so small recently after great regular seasons, it's hard for me to feel differently. So that would be my first one. But my second one is I've started to view this group like the 2000 to 2004 Eagles. Like, we have had so many memories with this group of players. You think about how much rosters change on the other teams. Like, the Phillies have kind of stayed the same. It's like the same 7 or 8, 9 guys that we've lived through all this with. So I don't know what's going to happen, but I know when I look back at the 2000 Eagles, like, I always think they deserved a Super Bowl. Like, I know they didn't get one. They won a lot of games, but, like, they deserved one, right? I think the Phillies deserve a World Series. Like, they have gone there. They have been to the NLCS. They've given us so many good memories. Like, maybe they will, maybe they won't, but I'm starting to view them a little bit like those early 2000 Eagles.
Yeah, I think that's a fair comparison. Also, Elliot, with that one, similarly, I felt like you go back and think about it, the earlier runs were almost more fun, I think, for the fan base because it was kind of unexpected,
yeah, right?
Like when a Hughes team got to play the Rams in the title game. But then as it went on, it almost became more nail-biting because you're like, well, are they going to get it done? They got to get it done. There's not much time left. It is pretty similar. Elliot, we appreciate you hopping on with us. Have a good day, and I'm sure it'll be interesting around the NovaCare later as AJ potentially might speak. Thank you, Elliot.
Yep, talk to you guys later.
There he goes. Elliot Shore Parks with us there.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
I think it was interesting how he divvied up the blame for the AJ situation right now. Yeah. 10% Petullo, 10% AJ maybe not being physically the same, 80% Jalen.
Yeah, it's one of those things that as fans, we want to say, okay, is this. And a lot of times it's not just one singular thing. It's a bunch of different things. And I think they're all fodder at this point. You know, there's been speculation of whether or not AJ is healthy. And that speculation is warranted because he didn't practice a whole lot in the summertime. So he didn't. He didn't, and that's a fact. And this offense looks disjointed. It just doesn't look like it has the flow that it once had before. So there are times to get things done, but as fans, this is what we love about the game. This is what we like to talk about.
Does Elliot really not know why people don't blame Jeff Stoutland?
Well, are you going to say because he has a track record?
Of course.
Yeah.
I mean, that is blatantly obvious.
Yeah.
Especially when you compare him to Kevin Petullo.
Right. Petullo is the new guy, so it's easy to assume he's the new weak link because they won the Super Bowl.
And we've
last
been
year.
Through this before.
Yeah.
I mean, we've been through coordinators, seem like every year. Well, every year I've been here, we've had a new coordinator. So, yeah, it's easy to blame that guy because he's inexperienced.
Right. Well, and I do think there's some protection of Jalen Hurts.
It's definitely some protection.
I mean, teams change coordinators every year.
Yeah, no question about it.
Yeah. Does anyone know the name of the Lions offensive coordinator right now?
Not off the top of my head.
No one knows. Does it matter? Jared Goff's completing 75% of his passes.
Yeah, because they look like they haven't lost a beat. Yeah.
Wait a minute,
I think that a lot of people. What's up?
You're telling me it's possible to play well with a new offensive coordinator?
It happens every year.
Sarcasm.
We spent a whole month just ripping Petula.
But it is kind of weird that you see some of the creativity in the Detroit Lions that you saw last year.
But then maybe that's about Jalen. They can't do those things with Jalen. Why would a team switch coordinators and be as creative, and we switch coordinators and are not creative? What would be the reason?
I'm gonna push back on that just a little bit, Joe. I think that there probably is some Jalen thing to do with that.
Yeah.
But Jalen has won games.
No, I know. But why doesn't the offense get more creative?
I don't know. That's a great question.
Yeah,
that's a great question because he's the common denominator.
Of course.
I don't know.
And Sirianni, of anyone that should get put some pushback on the offense, Sirianni's an offensive guy. Anyway, let's get back to the phone lines here. Aaron in San Diego up to give us whatever he's going to give us. Aaron, what's
nonsense.
Up? Hey, Aaron.
Good morning, Philadelphia.
I took a call in a while. I feel like we've just been yelling at each other.
Yeah, well, it's only been a half hour. Aaron, what's up?
So on the Saquon Barkley front, you know, I don't think it has anything to do with Saquon because last year, you know, he was, what was it, like 2 or 3 yards after scrimmage that he was getting touched?
Yes.
And this year, you know, he's taken some runs where he should have lost yardage, and he's turned them into 4 or 5 yard gains. So I think he's doing everything that he possibly can. I think it's a question of the offensive line. You know, I think that, you know, they have to all look themselves in the mirror. I know they've been hurt. They've been dealing with some injuries. But they need to look themselves in the mirror and figure out who they are and what they want to do.
So I agree, Aaron. I think it's mostly the offensive line. It's mostly the way they're playing him. I do think he's also probably had less after contact than he did last year. He broke some tackles last year and then bursted big runs. We're not seeing that either. But I'm with you. I think this is not a Saquon issue as much as it's everything around him. I'm just surprised we haven't gotten one really good game yet. You would think 1 out of 4, Aaron. That I'm surprised by it.
You know what's funny is in the Tampa Bay game, there was A.J. Dillon had like a 10-yard run. I was watching that, and I was like, if that was Saquon, that would have been his 60-yard touchdown run because he would have made a move, and he would have been gone. But, you know, I think what we're coming down, and as far as A.J. Brown, enough with the A.J. Brown stuff. He got 9 targets in Tampa Bay. And when I watched him in the second half, they went to him 3 straight times, and there wasn't one time where he was open. So, A.J., stop complaining, work on your craft, get open, and you'll get the ball. I mean, it's as simple as that, right?
Well, it should be.
It feels like it's that simple, but it's a little bit more complicated than that.
It's not as simple as that.
Yeah.
Well, if he's open, the more he's open, the more he'll get the ball.
So, like, what's your definition of open?
Well, that might be different than the quarterback's definition.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, again, we have a quarterback, and with the Jalen Hurts talk, this year has nothing to do with Jalen Hurts.
Hold on,
okay?
Aaron, hold on. He decides where the ball.
Hold on,
can we together agree on this? Does he decide where the football goes on every play?
See,
here's what we have.
So
everybody has to understand. This is head coaching decision. We have a head coach that has decided that the less mistakes we make, the better chance that we have to win the game. We are a clock management team. We are a ball control team. We are a let's turn it over.
They lead the NFL in 3-and-out rate. How could you be a ball control team when you have more 3-and-outs than any team in the league?
They're the 30th ranked passing offense after being 29 last year, and the running game sucks this time. Get a clue.
It has been a situational offense this whole year. That's why they're so hot and cold. When they called on Jalen Hurts to bring him back against the Rams, he did it. In the first half, when they asked him to throw the ball over the field against Tampa Bay, he did it. Okay, the second half of the game with Tampa Bay, it was a typical let's get conservative. We got to win this game. We're up a certain amount of points. In the Rams game, the special teams put us in situations where our average starting position was like the 12-yard line.
Oh, no.
So of course, you're going to have to be conservative.
All right. All right, Aaron, go get a glass of water. I mean, yeah, this guy's choking over his own points here.
Drying out.
Yeah.
Oh.
Aaron, I love you, but what are we doing?
Man.
We start the show talking about Saquon. We get to Petullo and AJ, and then we get to this Jalen Hurts sensitivity for no reason.
Super sensitive.
That people stop. People lose their ability to speak.
Yeah, they do. All right, 215-592-9494. We'll get back to everyone's phone calls on the Eagles. Hurts, should AJ speak today? Saquon.
Yes.
I am surprised it has been as slow of a start as it has been this year. We have Hugh Douglas over here, and I told you so. On the other side, let's get to some Phil's reaction to last night. It certainly feels like the Dodgers are coming in here on Saturday. We now have the time of the Phillies game. I'm not telling you yet.
You gotta wait. Tease.
That's called a tease in radio. How long have we been doing this? I'll tell you on the other side and everyone on the other side, the Phillies, when they are going to play on Saturday. And let's talk about a guy whose name rings as loud as Jalen Hurts. Let's talk about Bryce Harper. Expectations for October, what we need in October. I have a question about Bryce. We'll hit that next. 215-592-9490 for Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
I know by now you heard of my new tailgate drink, the new Jack Daniel's Tennessee Blackberry Whiskey. It's the real deal, folks. It's bold, vibrant blackberry, softened with a creamy vanilla, toasted oak, and just a hint of honey. It'll be a touchdown at your next tailgate this season. Jack Daniel's Tennessee Blackberry. Head over to your local fine wine and good spirit stores and grab yourself a bottle of Jack Daniel's Blackberry to make your own Jack Daniel's Blackberry Lemonade. And remember, tailgate responsibly.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.